Welcome to the Outdoor Dream Jobs podcast. I'm Allie Carr.
And I'm Jenna Selmer. We run Basecamp, an online community of more than 15,000 outdoor industry insiders who share jobs, industry contacts, and advice.
We have a ton of digitally rooted positions to discuss today, as you're seeing lots of companies are pivoting towards a digital business model for obvious reasons in COVID. And so that's, you know, what you're going to see across our newsletter and in our podcast and even across the Facebook group. Tons of digital jobs out there right now.
Yeah. And then we're going to get to talk to Eileen Thompson, and she is a Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing and Communications Officer of the Trust for Public Land. Great interview with Eileen. And if you're not sure what the Trust for Public Land does, they're a global organization with a mission to protect the land, but they do have local touch points as well, where they're taking, you know, they're making healthy, livable communities with parks and for future generations. So it's a huge organization with a very incredible mission.
That's amazing. She's going to let us know what it's like to work for such a large organization, a global organization. And she is also giving us some insight into how they're functioning during the pandemic. They have not only continued hiring steadily, which is a departure from a lot of companies that we're seeing, but they have a lot of exciting positions happening right now, available right now. And some summer internships. So recent grads, go take a look at the Trust for Public Lands job listings. And with that, let's get into jobs. So the first job that we're going to talk about is at Solomon. It's in Ogden, Utah. It's a digital marketing manager position. And if you know anyone on the team at Solomon, they seem like an extremely fun, awesome group of people to work for. So this position would be managing, you know, the marketing across all of the digital channels and touch points in the US and Canada. And Solomon is in the ski and running markets. So those would be, you know, your kind of focus. And so this would be a great position at an active company in the outdoor industry. You would effectively be acquiring, engaging, and retaining consumers through your marketing strategy. So great opportunity. And they're looking for 5 years of experience. So mid-level.
Yeah, we haven't seen Solomon hiring during the pandemic at all. And a little tip, Becky Marceliano, who you'd be working directly with, was on an episode of our podcast in the past. So it'd be really great for you to go look at what she said and learn a little bit more about her, maybe if you're interested in this position.
Awesome. Very active member in the Basecamp community too. So if you're in the Facebook group, don't hesitate to reach out to her.
Yes. SmartWool is also hiring up in Denver. We have a senior coordinator for social media position to talk about today, but highly encourage you to go look at their job board because they had a ton of positions listed. I remember seeing videographer as well. So a lot of marketing positions there. But this position is senior. They want more than 5 years of experience as well. And you're going to be really just amplifying that brand through the traditional means, social media channels and content creation, publishing, consumer engagement. You need to know the analytics as well, all of that fun stuff. That is in Denver, and they are asking for you to be physically in Denver for this position.
All right. The next position is a 2-month contract with the opportunity to turn into a full-time position. It is at The Trek. The position is remote, and they're looking for a content and marketing specialist. But what we do know is that the way that they've listed the position, they're actually looking for a writer, an editor, somebody who has a lot of backpacking experience, and bonus points if you have through hiking experience. So someone with an editorial background could absolutely, move into this position without a problem. And we do know that basically it's about $3,100 a month for those first 2 months on the contract. And again, if it goes well, then it could turn into a full-time position.
Yeah, that would be a really great organization to get into because it's really getting at the ground level. You're working directly with Zach, who is the CEO. So I think it'd be a pretty exciting little position to apply for. Helly Hansen is also hiring. I haven't really seen a lot of positions from them, so I'm kind of excited about it. They create clothing and for, you know, skiing, and I mainly know skiing, but I'm sure that they do for just general mountain play.
Mountain play and sailing has always been a long time.
Oh, sailing.
Yeah, okay. Because they're from Norway, so lots of sailing going on up there.
They need a copywriter, and that's also a job I haven't seen a ton of before. But if you're really good at wordsmithing, and if you're a mid-level writer who's pretty nimble and you can work on a large range of projects for them and work with the designers and all of the other members of their team, this would be a phenomenal job. And that is based in California. Awesome. Mountain View, California.
Mountain View. I think that's up north. The last position we're going to talk about today is at Hydro Flask, and this is a remote position. Hydro Flask is based in Bend, Oregon, so there may be some, communication happening in Bend, or I don't know, maybe at some point they would be interested in having someone there, but for now it's remote / Bend. They are looking for an account manager, someone with at least 2 years of experience who will be working with their sports and outdoor retail partners. So kind of also handling reps and ensuring that basically their accounts and partners are getting the tools and attention and information that they need to keep growing the business. And we do know that Hydro Flask is, their parent company is in New York City, and they were just hiring a DEI expert or looking for somebody in that realm. So pretty cool to know that your, kind of senior leadership would have an eye on diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah, that's an important value right now when looking for a job. I think you want to know what the company is all about before you get involved with them. So that's a great sign.
Yeah, and the parent company there is called Helen of Troy, in case you want to look them up.
Awesome. Okay, so let's go talk to Eiling. She has a ton of great information for everybody.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay, so now on the podcast, we're super excited to have Eiling Thompson. And she is the Senior Vice President, Chief Marketing and Communications Officer for the Trust for Public Land. Thank you so much for being here, Eiling.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Can you start by giving us a little bit of an overview of the Trust for Public Land? Most of our listeners know you very well, but, just in case.
Absolutely. Well, the Trust for Public Land has been around for about 47 years. We're a national nonprofit that is focused on creating parks and protecting land for people. Some of your listeners may know us for recently adding a section of the Zion Narrows in Zion National Park so that it can be through hiked all the way through, or they may know us for their local park where we've helped to go in and create a park from maybe an old abandoned parking lot. So we have a lot of impact in everything from city and neighborhood parks all the way out to national parks. And we're just an organization of people that have a passion for the outdoors, and we love to make sure that everyone has a chance to get outside.
And I'm curious, can you just tell us how you joined the organization?
Sure. I feel like my career has taken me on a life journey of conservation and outdoor recreation. I have been in the space for a little over 20 years. I had about 14 years in various leadership roles at the Nature Conservancy. And I joined the Outdoor Industry Association and headed up marketing and communications there for a bit. And I realized it was kind of the perfect blend of what I was most passionate about, conservation of beautiful places and spaces for our enjoyment and for nature itself, but also that recreation, getting outside, is a portal. It's a gateway drug, essentially, to help people really care and appreciate about the environment. And so when the opportunity to join the Trust for Public Land and head up marketing and communications here came up, I couldn't resist. It was the perfect combination of my personal passion of getting outside and getting after it, and having a chance to really bring more of these amazing outdoor places to more people.
Yeah, it sounds like the absolute perfect marriage of, passion and skill set really meeting, and I'm sure that will resonate with a ton of people. So can you tell us what it's like to work at the Trust for Public Land in terms of what the culture is like. Is everyone there just super, super passionate about conservation, or is it more of a mix?
Yeah, you know, I have found at the Trust for Public Land, this is we have a team of just incredibly passionate people. We have some of the smartest people in the space. We have folks who are landscape architects, people who are community organizers, folks in finance, HR, to running programs, to fundraising. We have a lot of staff with this incredible diverse background that they bring to our mission. We have incredible writers, you know, folks in my shop, you know, we've got marketers and folks in PR and that sort of thing. And the thing that we all share, though, is this deep belief in that when people have the opportunity to get outside and enjoy nature and outdoor spaces, it changes their lives. And that really fuels our sense of urgency around our work and our mission. You know, I mentioned earlier, we're a national organization. We have offices in more than, you know, 32 locations around the country. We work in Bozeman to Hawaii, to Maine, to, you know, Chicago, to Atlanta. And each of those places where we work, we really rely on our smart, talented staff to really understand what will bring more people to the outdoors, how we can work with communities to create spaces that will encourage people to get outdoors, and we make that happen. You know, from a what it's like to work there standpoint, you know, there's a never ending for me amount of inspiration. You know, every day I see these incredible deals come through. Sometimes they're years long in the making, you know, trying to protect a particular area that could have gone to development or for some other purpose. And now it's, you know, available for the public to use in perpetuity. That's quite inspiring. I'm also reminded at different times that those of us that love and appreciate the outdoors, we're very fortunate. And there are many people in our country, 100 million people, who don't have access to a park within a 10-minute walk of home. And I don't know if your listeners are like me, I need that daily dose of nature every day, and how important that is to my life. And so, you know, we all carry that ethos for ourselves, and we take that ethos into our daily work and truly to the type of impact that we want to have in all of the communities where we work. And so, you know, I just sometimes I get very emotional at work too, because you see the power of a park on an individual's life or a community's life, and you see where they have a parking lot of asphalt and pavement, and they're just so excited about getting an actual park where they can get outside and play and get some exercise. And it's powerful work, it's emotional work, and it's important work. And that's the thing that brings us all together, and it's really sort of a thread that runs through our culture.
It sounds incredibly meaningful, which would likely transcend a lot of, you know, maybe negative aspects of a workplace. But I have a feeling that there aren't too many, and that there's also a lot of kind of little perks that are offered that maybe the public doesn't know about. Are there any that come to mind?
Sure. You know, I'm not Sally Sunshine. You know, we are national. And what that also means is sometimes folks may, you know, we have to work a little harder to stay well connected with each other. You know, with our colleagues. And so we had embraced the virtual nature of our work long before, you know, the society has shifted to a more virtual, you know, sort of situation with the pandemic. But, you know, some of the things that, you know, which is great, we move straight right into, you know, sort of full-time remote working. I would say one of the big perks is being able to work with content that really matters. I would say, you know, there's certainly, you know, career opportunities that are unlike you would normally get in a more for-profit sector. The ability to meet some amazing people that have done some incredible things, you know, all the things that feed the professional growth that a lot of employees look for is sort of inherent in our work day in and day out. I look, you know, we we're outdoors people, so we also offer opportunities for people to take time off to get outside and get after it in a variety of ways. And sometimes work looks like doing a field trip to a place where we're working with a community, and that means spending the day outside, and that's your work day. We have the usual things, retirement plans and all that good stuff that really help ensure that our employees have the long-term tools they need to live a good life.
Yeah, so would you say that this is not the very traditional, like a corporate environment? There is a bit more flexibility and there is a bit more empathy for people that might want to, I don't know, leave early on a Friday to go for a hike.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I was just on some calls this morning, and some of us were sort of saying, "Oh, what are your plans?" It's nice to have a coworkers in a work environment that deeply understands the importance of getting outside. Sometimes we'll slack each other and say, "I got to get outside. I have to go for a bike ride. I need some fresh air. I need a walk. I need something." And folks do that. I and a lot of most the leadership at the organization, we recognize that, we want to hire, incredible talent, people who are passionate for our mission, and that doesn't necessarily fit into 9 to 5. And so we want leaders who want to come and make a real difference. And so, as you said, that sort of, sit at your desk till 5 p.m. is sort of not part of our culture. Everyone has a role, and they know what that is, what their contribution is. And so not all jobs are cookie cutter and alike. And so we recognize that in the ways that we operate ourselves.
Okay, that's amazing. Because sometimes the larger corporations have less agility to provide that and to protect that, those areas of passion that draw people to the workplace in the first place. And then, they find they get disenchanted because they wanted to achieve, conservation and work in the outdoor industry. And they're like, well, I'm at a desk more than ever, which isn't always great. But so it sounds like you guys are striking a pretty great balance. And I'm just curious because we're in the pandemic. It doesn't seem like it's going to be ending anytime soon. How are you working together? How are you staying connected? And how has your, especially with the marketing, like your content strategy and things like that, changed with the inability to be face to face as often?
Those are great and really timely questions. I'll say on, how we're staying connected. My team, we're about 25 folks in our marketing and communications function that were spread across the country. During the pandemic, I brought on 4 new staff in the middle of a pandemic.
Amazing.
I've been in a bit of a hiring push, and we recognize how important it is to get the story of our organization's impact, the stories from these communities that are really making a difference and driving change, to get that out there. And so, it's unique. I've never been in the middle of a pandemic. I've never
Of
brought
course,
in
yeah.
as many of us. But bringing folks on and just really being thoughtful about how do you ensure that if new staff join, they are able to make those connections. We're using the tools like Zoom and Slack, so to be immediate. We're being adaptable. Sometimes, you read a lot about Zoom fatigue. But what I found is that the principles of just good meeting management and how you drive meaningful conversations that advance your work forward are still at the core of that. Those tools don't replace all of that, but it makes it easier, and it feels good to connect and look people eye to eye, and we do that. We're also just saying sometimes we just need to like make a quick on the fly phone call to have a conversation because something might not be translating an email, and so we're all working hard on being adaptable and using the tools available to us to help make that work. Just last week, my team, we did a virtual retreat for 2 days. We capped it at 4.5 hours with a break, and we sort of built in the, one quarter of it was about team building and getting to know each other. And it was so powerful for me to really see this other side that you don't necessarily bring to work. And in some ways, it's almost this full recognition that you making time to connect with each other is really important is sometimes a thing in in-person work situations is may not quite be as, you know, prominent. And so I'm finding there are deeper connections and different types of connections that are arising from our current work situation.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. So, you know, and then adapting. You know, it's been interesting. We've launched some new things. You know, there's sort of said, well, there's, you know, nothing like a pandemic to make you take a step back and look at what's happening. You know, some of your current strategies, how are they working in this new environment? And we've launched things like a virtual park bench chat series, and we're bringing on sort of notable individuals to help drive some really interesting conversations and engage our donors and supporters. We're thinking hard about, you know, a digital space. It's an area we're really pushing forward in our marketing work. I would say the Trust for Public Land has had an incredible history of impact in this country. Probably, I would say most of your listeners may not even know quite the depth of impact we've had. So many recreation lands around the country have had our fingerprints on it. But it's less known, and that's why I'm here, and that's the kind of people that I'm hiring onto my team, is folks that really want to just celebrate that and help make our mission even more relevant and timely, because we know through this pandemic how important it is for us all to get outside, and it's a space we can all be in and still enjoy and socialize and do so safely. So those are a few of the ways that we're really adapting, and I would say I've put top of my list is making sure that my staff are taking care of themselves. They're committed and passionate, work really hard. And so I'm saying, hey, stop, take a break, go away. If I email you and you're off and I forgot, don't forget to, it's okay.
Yeah, helping them, that's so important. You sound like a wonderful boss, but you know, helping them set boundaries and teaching the importance of that, because burnout is very real. And if you have an employee that just goes, that's actually not going to help anyone in the long run. They are going to burn out. They are going to have some resentment potentially. And I'm really glad to hear that self-care is sort of at the core of your leadership.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it is, you know, all staff modeling it and holding each other accountable, them holding me accountable. Sometimes they're like, Eileen, are you taking time off? Stop scheduling things on your days off. You know, it's, we all keep each other accountable to taking care of ourselves. And I feel like that is the most important thing that any of us, you know, whether you're a boss of people or you work with a team, it's just, it's a difficult time for so many people right now. And you have no idea what's happening behind the surface, and just to accept people as the full person they are with a full life, is, you know, it's just so important to show up in the right way for each other.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now that everybody wants to work for you, can you give us some more ideas of, aside from, you know, the passion, which is very clearly a necessary tenet of somebody that would like to work with you folks, skills or personality traits or just things that you look for? I know that an old boss of mine said that the trait she looks for most is curiosity, which I found really unique, but really important. So are there any traits that you specifically look for?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a few. You know, I think a learning mind is really important in our work. The ability to sort of understand, you know, the why in our work. You know, I think particularly for, you know, nonprofits, it's making that emotional connection, and how you get there is through a combination of curiosity, asking why, bringing a learning mindset so that, you know, we can take people on a journey with us through our work. You know, there's a lot, particularly in my space, where, you know, there's a lot of marketers with a lot of technical skills, communications folks with technical skills, but oftentimes nonprofits are places where, you know, I would say every person I know in our organization, every person here has 150% on their plate.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it's self-directed. There's so much we all want to get done. And so sometimes in the translation of information, it might be very little too top line. And so to really sort of take the time to say, wait, tell me more about that. Help me understand this. Oh, okay. And it's sort of a lack of fear of asking those questions and really getting to understand that, what's behind some things you're learning about. And I think actually having pretty high EQ is something that I've seen folks thrive. When you really understand people, we're in the business of raising money also for a mission, and whether that's a small dollar amount or large gifts, really understanding how, your organization's, this organization's mission connects with the desires of change that people want to see, so that you better understand how we put our work forward will allow us to get more work done. So those are a few of the qualities that I think are pretty important in general. And just having agency, I particularly for women, a passion of mine is just having confidence in your skill set and showing up and feeling empowered to have agency around what you believe is right and pairing that with the technical facts and bringing that forward. And so it's sort of the merging of I think when people bring their full selves to work, those sort of all those ingredients come together.
Oh, 100%. That's amazing. And I have a feeling that, now correct me if I'm wrong, but you seem like someone that also doesn't, that reframes failure from like, hey, it's not failure, but like, you really should just try and let's see what happens and let's learn from it. And you really empower just trying.
Absolutely. And I'll say this for the Trust Republic land, and I think this has been wonderful advice for me throughout my career. It's so hard to break through the noise, and that's in a way, no matter if you're a scientist, an architect, a landscape architect in our situation, a fundraiser, a marketer, it's so hard to break through the noise. And, having, taking some risks, trying some new things, there will always be lessons that you can learn by doing that. Some will be ones that are specific to that project or that initiative that you're leading. There will definitely be lessons learned about your relationships, interactions with others who were instrumental to your success. And there's always lessons for yourself, to say like, wow, okay, if I thought about this or that, but this went really well, that actually is success. Growth, stagnant organizations die, growing organizations move, and growth is about success and failure. And so I am such a deep believer in that.
I am so in love with everything you're saying. And I'm so excited because I know that you're often hiring. I've been looking at the job boards quite a bit. So I know that there have been so many rotating positions, but one that just popped up was actually an internship. And our audience, there's so many new graduates that really have been looking forward to getting into this field. And then the pandemic hit and they just are finding it a struggle to find a place for them, but internships are amazing. So I'm so excited to see this and I'm hoping you can tell us a bit more about it.
Sure. We have across our organization, we have a number of internships that we hold. Some are over the summer, some are with specific programs. So there's lots of opportunities for your listeners that are interested in internships. I have one open right now that is focused on digital, and we're looking at digital content, how we elevate our game in digital communications and digital marketing. We are, making a transition based, to upgrading our website, to doing more digitally based storytelling. And so this is a great opportunity for, a newly emerging professional to sink their teeth into some great content, bring some creativity and technical skills to really help us, in this space. So, I continue to be in awe of young people coming out of college now, both one for, how much knowledge they have coming out and experiences that they've put under their belt, but also for such a challenging time to be a young person looking for a job with all the things that have happened just in 2020. never mind sort of the last few years. And so, you know, we're just very committed as an organization to finding ways to create some of those entry-level opportunities for young people to gain the experience that they want and get a foothold in organizations like, you know, mission-based organizations like our, like we have, to, you know, get their, have their opportunity there. So it'd be great to see some more of those young folks coming and applying for a job.
I agree completely. Can you tell us if somebody did want to apply, as we said, the market is pretty saturated, how might somebody stand out in an application?
It's fascinating. I don't want to, sounds like such an old person thing to say, but I don't want to date myself. But I remember back in the day, well, I was starting off, I was looking for internships in public relations. And my gosh, you know, how do you make yourself stand out in a profession that is intended to stand out? The stakes were really high. You know, I think if, you know, if someone really wants their resume to stand out, think about the job you're applying for. And what can you put forward that really helps your resume stand out? One is, I've had, you know, some of the some candidates who've really risen to the top had a champion who might have been a professor, it might have been a friend of a friend within a network who worked in our organization. You have platforms like LinkedIn that show you how you how many connections or how many degrees of away from a connection you might have in a place. Take time with that cover letter. I think especially for entry-level jobs, there's some basic things like, wow, you know, business communication skills and attention to detail and things like that that really do stand out, you know, as maybe not the flagship thing, but then become, you know, a consideration as you start going through the candidate pool. I've had a number of young people reach out to me on LinkedIn, and just ask for a conversation. You know, and I don't even mean like just out of college. I mean, this is through, you know, kind of the early years of their careers, just to connect and, have a informational, conversation. And so, it never hurts you to try. And those are the kinds of things that, you know, if you have an opportunity to get in front of someone, I encourage folks to do that. You know, fun things like ours, you know, it's like digital. Hey, is there a video you could put forward? Is there something that shows what you do, that you could put forward that would really help that stand out? And pay attention to the details. That would be my advice.
And that's amazing advice. Actually, when I was hiring, I had a candidate for an internship and they got a letter from their, from somebody that knew them at NASA. Oh. On the NASA letterhead, and like, listen, that stands out. Just somebody taking the time out of their day to write a letter on your behalf really makes me look twice, because I mean, everyone's busy. So if they're willing to do that for you, I mean, it goes a long way for me. And just to know, it's social proof as well. So absolutely. I really appreciate letters of recommendation, not just, hey, these people will vouch for me, but here is an actual letter that somebody was willing to write for me. And I also agree that reaching out beforehand on LinkedIn for a conversation shows a lot of moxie and shows that you're willing to kind of do the work to get to know what that hiring manager might be like as well. Cause a job is a two-way street. You want the fit to feel right for both parties.
Absolutely.
So we are asking all organizations about their inclusivity efforts. You sound like a very, very diverse organization that cares a lot about equity. Any specific initiatives that you've taken, or is this just something that's really laced throughout the culture?
Well, I'll say, you know, I would say every organization out there, for-profit, nonprofit, has work to do. You know, there are some that are further along on the spectrum, but, you know, if anything of the last few years even has really brought forward in a number of ways is how systemic our country, you know, where some of the challenges that we have are truly achieving a diverse and inclusive society. So we are by no means, you know, we are pushing forward to, you know, to really drive more diversity at all levels in our organization. Our executive team, we have all, we're all sort of developing DEI goals that we can implement in our part of the organization and working with our teams to identify some goals they feel they can contribute. There's something to the power of every individual in an organization saying, these are my commitments and I'm going to make those steps, you know, and, you know, the power of more people doing that and making those individual commitments are incredibly helpful. One thing that's pretty exciting for us, you know, we have a 5-year strategic plan that has really driven our intense focus on the impact that we have at the community level, and specifically through our ability to advance equity outcomes, health outcomes, and climate change outcomes through our work. And so we are, you know, that's a body of work where our impacts in equity are very visible in our external facing work and how we show up in those communities. And that's pretty important for us. You know, we're doing those things like staff training and, you know, offering good career development and that sort of thing. So we continue to look for good suggestions and learning from not just peers in the conservation and nonprofit space, but across the board. And, you know, how do we really make more progress in this space as an organization? So, you know, we're you know, I welcome if there are any ideas from folks that they have found that they're doing really well. We'd love to hear about them.
Yeah. And I think that's great that you're even just open to feedback, because that collaborative nature is so important, and just being willing to listen to outside voices has been really, I think the message that we're hearing is, hey, we have something to say and we haven't been listened to in the past. And really, that's why we're here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So before we go, Eileng, can you tell us, is there anything that you'd like to say that wasn't prompted?
You know, I guess before we close, you know, the only suggestion I would have for your listeners is, you know, it is possible to have a career that builds off your personal passion and allows you to sort of realize a career that you're very excited about. Some of my most, you know, impactful employees and colleagues I've worked with were self-driven because they knew why they were there, and they knew the kind of impact they wanted to have. And I guess as, you know, sort of a nonprofit career path person for the last 20 years, this has been such a stark difference in the types of people I see who, you know, come through, you know, like I've worked with and have worked for me, who I've seen have varying degrees of success. And I just encourage your listeners, if they are passionate about something, go after that. It will show up in your work. You know, and it will let them have that kind of life and professional career and the impact that they really want to have.
Yeah, it does really show. There's a huge difference between somebody that wants to be there and doesn't. So I agree. Follow that passion. Eileng, thank you so much. I thought I knew the Trust for Public Land fairly well, but I learned a ton today. So this was a wonderful interview. Thank you so much for sharing some insights about the organization and about your leadership in particular. And I have a feeling the internships are going to get a ton of attraction and a ton of great candidates.
Thank you so much, Jenna. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back with you next week with an awesome guest and some more fantastic jobs. So definitely tune in. We'll talk to you then.